Good Sunday morning, everyone. Happy to have all of our visitors with us. It's a glorious Lord's Day. Let's take out Heavenly Highway Hymns, the blue book in front of you, and turn to page one. Page one, let's start our worship of the Lord this morning. Turn over to page 63. He leadeth me. Thank you.
Brother Trey. Appreciate the good singing this morning, the good songs, and the new song leader. Ezra had his first time at leading singing. A lot of people would frown, I guess, in a lot of churches. I don't frown. I'm thankful Ezra's here. And I'm thankful that he came up to be with his daddy like that. We are so thankful to see each and every one like that is here today. But I've been blessed at different times. And the first work that I did, we were small in number. And Patrick was a pretty much newborn baby. And we didn't have enough coming. And so I would hold Patrick and lead singing. And Paula would play the piano, and then when it got time to do the preliminaries, I'd hand Patrick back to her, and then after prayer, I would take Patrick back and lead singing again, and I'd hand him back, and I'd preach, and we just shuffled him all over the place is what we did. And I'll say this, I've been privileged a time or two, like Brother Trey was, not just my own kids, but I've had some kids come up to me in the pulpit. Maybe not while I was preaching, but I'm just thankful children are there. One of the saddest sounds in a church house is no children. And I'm thankful that you bring your children to church and that we bring them into the house, into the congregation. How else will they learn how to behave in church if they don't come into church? You start them out young, learning how to behave in church and to pay attention is what we hope that they'll do. And it always was a surprise to me when I would think that one of my kids wasn't paying attention, that maybe they'd tell me something that the preacher had just said. Or maybe even hours later, they would remark at something that was said. And so we may not think they're paying any attention when they've got their cars and their dolls and they're playing in the seat, but they're hearing. And all of that is a seed. All of that is a seed that will lead them to the Lord. And by the way, if you haven't noticed, we have a first-timer here today. Luke Thomas over here is his first time in church, and we're glad to see him today. I'm glad. We've been missing y'all being here, and we're glad you're back with us today. And we're glad to see Luke back with us today, and just so thankful for the privilege of having a new baby in the house of the Lord today. It's good to see each and every one out here today. I want to make one quick announcement. We are going to have a baptizing this afternoon after our service. And basically, when we get done with the preaching part of the service, Sister Kendra is going to be baptized, and she'll go back here, and I'll go back here and get ready as we start the singing part of the service. And we'll come out into the water, and we'll have a baptizing. And then after that, we will have a right hand of church fellowship, as is our custom to do. So do not, we don't want everybody to run off. We want you to stick around for the entire part of the rest of the service. It is a blessing to see somebody come into the church in water baptism, and to make their belief in God known to the world is what that does. And so we want to keep that in mind this morning. We're glad to see each and every one with us today. Glad to have our visitors here today. I hope and pray that you'll get a great big blessing out of the service today. We had a lot of prayer requests in our Sunday school time. Is there more prayer requests? And if we need to repeat them, that's fine. Somebody got a prayer request on your heart before we go to the Lord in prayer? We do want to remember all the prayer requests. I do want to give you one quick update. Sister Shirley is still not well. Her procedure last week was good, went well, and she is better from that, but she's still got more problems. So do remember her in your prayers. Brother Blaine Wilburn, I should say, He went to rehab earlier this week, but they found some blood work out, so he is back in the hospital. They moved him Friday back to Wilson County Hospital, whatever it's called now. But he's in Wilson County Hospital, so do remember him. And then Brother Randall had a procedure this past week also. Do continue to remember him. Any other prayer requests? Lord bless. Bless you, Mr. Let's do remember this. Somebody else. Lord bless. Let's do remember Brother Lanny and Sister. I'm going blank. Sorry. I get in trouble when I mention names. I try not to do that, and then when I do, I can mess up. Sorry. Let's do remember this. Somebody else. Lord help. Let's remember this. Somebody else. Addie is one of the lost ones that we haven't seen get saved yet, and she's what, 17 now, I guess? 15. Well, she's not as old as I thought she was, but let's do remember Addie in our prayers, along with the others that we have here that are lost. We've got several, when you look around here, that are of age to be accountable for their sins, and we haven't heard anything from them yet. So we want them to be saved. Somebody else. Let's be prayerful one for another, and let's ask the Lord to help us in this service today. Be sure you pray for me today. If no other prayer request, Brother Rodney, I feel like you ought to lead us in prayer at this time, if you would.
Get out your blue book again. Let's turn to page 17. 17. Let's pick it up a little bit. Let's turn over to page 140. Good singing this morning. let's do number 254. Number 254. Take my hand, precious Lord.
Thank you, Brother Trey. Appreciate the good songs. Sometimes it's good for us to know the history of some songs. I enjoyed that. Just the thoughts of, and we've all been there at one time or another where we was just so down, so out, thought we'd been served an injustice, and yet God held our hand through it, didn't he? And I'm thankful for that. Anybody got a word on your heart this morning? Word of testimony or anything? We're going to take our reading lesson today from John, the Gospel of John, the first chapter. Those that comes to our Bible study says, oh, he talked about this the other day. And that's somewhat true. We ask that you pray for us. I do want to remind everybody, we do have the new church directories. If you would like a copy of it, see either myself or Paula or one of the deacons one, please, and we'll get you a copy of that if we would. We're trying to keep them to one per household, but just see one of us and we'll get you a copy of the new church directory is what we can do. As I said, we're going to take our reading lesson today from John, the first chapter. And we did study these verses not too many weeks ago. But listen to verse 29 as it says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing upon him. Excuse me. With water. Excuse me. I jumped down a verse. Took my eyes off of it. Sorry about that. That's with my mistakes in reading. That's the verse 29 through verse 31 for our reading lesson today. And I ask that you would pray for us today that we might preach this message the way we should. Our thought today is that Jesus might be manifested. This is going to be our thought today in this message today. I thought when I first got that first initial thought, we're having a baptizing today and we're going to talk about baptism and how that it manifests Jesus in the baptizing. It does. A lot of people do not realize that when we take a candidate up into the water and we take that candidate and we lay them down into the water and bring them back up, first of all, the laying down, let me take just a moment to explain something first for this. There becomes a submission of the person to be baptized, doesn't it? We had to submit ourselves unto God for our salvation, didn't we? Jesus also submitted himself unto God also, in that he was willing to come into this world, live as us human beings did, and then suffer death for us. And as he submitted unto God, he laid down his life. When we are baptized, it shows the death of Christ, the death and the burial. So then when that we bring them up out of the water, it shows forth the resurrection of Jesus Christ in his great glory that it was when he came out of the grave. You see, that was a manifestation of God's goodness and of his greatness is what it did. But John says here, he that sent me to baptize here, he said, baptized with water, that he might be manifested. Now, I know I'm getting that out of order, but that's what it was. That very moment was the moment in which that Jesus' ministry started. That was the time that he was supposed to start doing his work that we might be saved. Yes, he had already lived a perfect life up until that point. He was still without sin all of that period, all of that time. And because of that, he was in a great glory already in people's eyes. They saw him as a good man. I believe that. But for the fact of this moment, this was the starting of his ministry. And it was the manifestation that comes out in this moment in time. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but I want you to remember that when Jesus was baptized, that immediately after that, the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove, according to Luke and Matthew, and it abode upon him, and the voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This is the starting of the manifestation of Jesus. And you might say, well, what are you talking about being manifest? Are you talking about a brilliant light? Are you talking about something being great? And it was great. We just didn't realize how great it was that this was going on. But what I'm wanting you to see and understand today is a manifestation is a light being brought forth. It is making apparent is what the actual definition is of a manifestation. It's making it apparent. I'm going to tell you today, in that very moment in time, it was very apparent to John the Baptist just exactly who this man was. Yes, he had already talked about the very fact that this was the Lamb of God, which would take away the sins of the world. But now God had told him that he was baptizing for the very purpose of manifesting Jesus Christ in that moment in time. This was his purpose. And the Bible tells us that John was told by God that he would see the Spirit of God descending upon him and abiding upon him, that it was the Son of God. And this made it so much more apparent to him. Now, there is a difference between believing something is real and just believing that it's real, and then really knowing that it's real. Now, what I'm trying to say is there's a lot of people out there today that are saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But do they know it for sure? You see, they have to have Jesus manifested in their lives to really and truly believe who he is. They have to have him manifested in their hearts to really make it full in their minds. Now, what we're talking about, Jesus was telling them in this manifestation, in this thing that they were seeing in that day, they were seeing something that was so brilliant, so bright, so light that they just saw it plainly. But what the Bible tells us in the book of Luke, Jesus doing the speaking, he says, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed? Now, if we are in a dark room and we want the lights to come on, we flip the switch. But the idea is here, you don't put something over the lamp in order to dim the light or to make it where that you cannot see still. You want that light to be manifested. You want it to shine brightly is what you want it to do. And because of that, you want it to shine out. And that was what Jesus was wanting them to see. That's what God wanted them to see, was Jesus Christ today. I'm going to say here today at Murfreesboro Church, I want Jesus to be manifested or shown out very plainly to the city of Murfreesboro today. I do. I wish that the brilliance that we know Jesus today would be like a light that is shining so brilliantly that they would see Murfreesboro Church and see Jesus here. That's the manifestation that is needed today in this world. That's the manifestation that this church needs. We need to show forth the great light that is here for us to show out today. We need to show Jesus to the world. A lot of people would tell you today, well, the preacher is the church. No, he is not the man of the church. He is not the church at all. He is only the one that is proclaiming the word of God. He is the only one that is telling you about Jesus. He is the one that's trying to instruct the others that are coming into our body who may not know about Jesus. He is trying to help them see what? Jesus. It needs to be made apparent. It needs to be made bright in their eyes. That's what they need to see. Now, you might say in many occasions, and we're going to go back to Brother Trey's story here about the songwriter here for just a moment. In that day, he lost his wife and his baby son. And he thought a great injustice had been done. Think about that. We've all been into that kind of a place. And we have said within ourselves, Lord, why us? Why now? Why did you allow this great harm to come upon me or upon anybody else? There is a great reason, and many times we do not know the reason. I'm going to give you an example out of the book of John in the 9th chapter, and it's a story that you've heard many times, I'm sure. But there was a blind man whom they came upon, and Jesus and the company and the disciples said, Lord, why was this man born blind? Was it a sin that he committed, or did his parents commit a sin? Now, I could go in more into the story, but I want you to get the words of Jesus. He said, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest. You say, when we are going through hardships, when we turn to God, when we say, Lord, take me, use me, lead me in this land, take me by the hand and help me through these things, we manifest the life of Christ. We manifest the works of Christ is what we do. Now that man, he was made to see just a little bit later. And you might say, well, what good did that do? Yeah, it showed the power of God that this man, Jesus, could heal a man that was born blind. Never had they seen such a thing as this. But now, listen to this. Now, Jesus was on the scene. Well, everybody started questioning the man. Who healed you? And he said, I don't know. I was blind. He just told me to take, he put clay on my eyes and he told me to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And behold, I see. He didn't know exactly what happened. He just knew what he saw. He saw. How many of you today, if I asked you what happened when you got saved, you can tell me just exactly what happened in that moment that you got saved. I'm going to tell you, I just know that there was peace came in. I just know that Jesus saved my soul. I just know that he took something, took that sin out, and he put in peace in my heart. He put love in my heart, and it just manifested in me. But this man, he had a physical eyesight that had been given to him in that very moment in time, and they ended up putting him out of the synagogue because he wouldn't give. He kept saying it was a man. They said, give glory to God, and he said, I don't know who it was. But Jesus came to him. I want you to listen to this. Jesus came to him. Now, this man wasn't saved yet. He just got healed. Yes, he got healed. But he wasn't saved yet. Yes, God does great things for sinners too. And what Jesus did, he said, let's drop down. Jesus asked, do you believe in the Son of God? And he answered a question that I'd say a lot of the world says today. Who is he that I might believe? Who is he? You see, Jesus did this great work for one purpose. Yeah, that his power might be showed, his miracle might be shown, but he did it also for another reason. We had the question, I think, in our Sunday school this morning, and somebody made the statement that Jesus died on the cross, and I think it was Brother Fabian who said, and he did, would have done it just for me. You think about that. You think that's a bad statement? You think that he would have died just for you? You know what? He will. He'll die. He died just for you. He did this miracle so this man might believe in the Son of God. Jesus turned to him and said, "He that speaketh unto you is he," is what he said to him. And the blind man looked upon Jesus. He realized it. He was the man that made him see. He was the man that had the power to lift up his eyes in such a great way. And he said, "I believe." Do you see the manifestation? We talked in our Sunday school this morning a lot about setting forth an example. I see somebody said that they wanted to put a sign on their car that said, "Follow me to church." Somebody else talked about we need to be praying for the sinners, and we do. And the actions is what we got into in our lesson about us showing our actions to people and individuals. And so many times the very thought that comes to our minds, "Well, it really won't do any good." You ever had that thought? It won't do any good to ask them to come to church. They're not church-going people. They wouldn't come if I asked them. Did you ask them to find out? You see, you may catch them in a moment of time when they're so desperate that they're grasping at every little straw that they can. One of the stories that I got out of the lesson that Brother Mike taught the other night, he said they went to talk to a lady. And as they were talking to her, she said, "I think they just knocked on her door," is what they said. And they knocked on her door, and they started talking to her about the Lord. And as they started talking to her about the Lord, she said, "Before you came in, my husband had left me." And she had a bunch of kids there. She said, "My husband had left me." And she said, "I didn't know how I was going to get by. I didn't know how things were going to help, how I was going to be helped." She said, "I was fixing to take my life." You may catch somebody in a moment when that they at their very lowest point and they need Jesus. They got to talking to her. And last I think Brother Mike said was she still hadn't got saved, but she's coming to church and she is bringing her children to church, and there is hope for her in Jesus. You see, the manifestation of our works leads us unto the Lord, is what it does. And as we are living our lives today, we are to continue to remember that Jesus is giving us the opportunities to speak, to witness, to make him manifest today. You see, the world sees you, but they see Jesus in you if you're doing what God wants you to do. Oh, wait a minute here. They didn't see Jesus in me when I was maybe doing something I shouldn't have been doing. No, you took Jesus to that place you shouldn't have been doing. But he's still with you. But did they see Jesus in you at that time? Now, I want to go and see if I can find what I want to find here. No, let's go to 1 Corinthians. That's where I need to go. 1 Corinthians, 12th chapter, and I want you to look at verse 6. And he says, "There are diversity of operation," meaning gifts, works that you can do. "But it is the same God which worketh all in all." What I want you to understand, just as you carried Jesus into that place you didn't need to be, or in that situation that you didn't need to be in, just as you carried him into that place, he's still with you, hoping to bring you out of that thing, because you have an ability. You have an ability today to manifest, to show off Jesus. You do. You've got an opportunity today to show Jesus to that person that is in need. That person that is so far down that they're reaching at every straw. They've tried everything else. Now it's time for you to tell them about Jesus. Declare his name. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, meaning saved individual, to profit with all. You see today, your spirit within you is showing forth that light. Do you remember what I said a while ago about the candle that is meant to be brought out and to shine and not to put it under a bushel, a basket, not to put it under a bed where that it cannot be seen? The idea is we are to declare Jesus as much as we possibly can. Sister Kendra is going to start today. She's been saved a long time. But she's making a commitment to show Jesus from this time forward. Did you do that when you got saved and when you joined the church? Did you not think, well, I'm going to live for the Lord? Did you not think I was going to do everything that I was... that I could for the Lord? When you was praying and seeking God, did you not tell God, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it if you'll just save me? Oh, I told him that a bunch of times. I didn't mean it, but I told him. You see, we have an ability in us by the Spirit of God to show forth Jesus. You say, well, how do I show Jesus off? One of the best things that you can do is love somebody. Jesus said, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. And so many times throughout the Gospels especially and throughout the letters that were given, and especially by John, he talks about the love for one another. And I want you to know, church, you're supposed to love one another. You are. You're supposed to love them. You may not like some of the things they do. You might not like the actions. They may have an attitude sometimes you do not like. But you're supposed to love them. Hey, they're your brothers and sisters. On top of that, you may not be a member of this church, but I love you. I want you to know that today. There may be the vilest sinner here today. I don't know. I don't think there is. But there might be the vilest sinner here today in this area. But I want you to know something today. I love them. Even if they're not in this church house today, we're to love them. We're to show them the joy of Jesus Christ, to show that light. Jesus said, I am the light. But then he turned around and he told them, ye are the light of the world. How many of you has ever went somewhere and they have the big spotlights? No shining up in the air? Last place I guess I saw that was down around Disney in that area. But they turn them big lights on. And they show that light, it'll scan through the air. If it's a cloudy night, it'll go right up to that cloud and it'll stop it. You see, you may be shining on a light on a soul that's clouded, and they need that illumination about Jesus. You see, today, the purpose that John was here was that Jesus might be manifested. basically what he did, he introduced them. Oh, that's a good thought, isn't it? He introduced a bunch of people that day to Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Son of God. How many of you have met somebody for the first time and really and truly at that moment in time you didn't think it meant that much? But later on, they became your husband or wife. How many of them maybe became a best friend? How many of them maybe became somebody that helped you through a troublesome time? How many of them were just there casually? I'm going to give you an example on me. Back several years ago, Paul and I kind of got into a business trying to work for ourselves, and we went to a meeting, and there was a guy there that had really done a lot. And we thought it was special to be there that day. And it was special to meet that fella. He was famous in our business. But as I sat there, he was talking about something, and the Lord gave me a sermon out of it. I thought, well, that's special. A little later on, we went and talked to him, and then later on, I went on just a little ways along, and we went somewhere, and we saw him again, and I got to hear him talk, and the Lord gave me another sermon. I thought, Lord, what is this? Preach that sermon. Next time I was there, and the Lord used that man. He just asked a question. What'd you dream of when you was a kid? Now, when I was a kid, I didn't dream about anything special, but when the Lord called me to preach, he put me to dreaming a lot of days when I was mowing that old cemetery about preaching. I was running. But he said, you're going to preach to multitudes. Boy, that popped in my mind. And I said, Lord, how? He said, through a TV. Lord, how? He said, I'll show you how. Talked to that man later, and I asked him about his testimony, and he told me a good testimony. Then I told him about what the Lord had done through me, or through him. Are you going to be that person for somebody else today to manifest Jesus? Now, through my television program, I don't know if anybody's ever got saved through it. It don't matter. I've done what God wanted me to do. But I'll tell you one thing. If there's one like that little blind man that needed to hear it and God used it, glory be to God. Glory be to God. You see, God has given us an opportunity by His Spirit to manifest His Spirit. You have an opportunity today to lift up the name of Jesus. Whether it's in testimony, Sister Kendra's getting baptized after a while. That's a great opportunity, isn't it? What's your opportunity today? Sister Kendra, if you want to go back there and get ready, that'll be just fine. What we'll do today is manifesting Jesus. It's showing a bright light to them. You do the same thing. Don't think it's just a little thing to sing. Don't stop there, though. Don't think it's just enough to pray. Don't stop there. Don't think it's enough just to invite somebody. Don't stop there. Like I said, you may be the one that's going to catch somebody at their very lowest point. They may be fixing to kill themselves, and they need you to stop them with Jesus. Brother Trey, give us a song. I want you, we're going to use one verse of this morning to use for an invitation. If there's others here today that would like to lift up the name of Jesus, if you're supposed to join the church here at Murfreesboro today, I want you to come forward and you can join this church today. We take members by experience and baptism. That means you've got to be saved first. And we'll ask you your testimony. I want you to know that. We want to hear when and where you got saved. I like to hear when people tell me about their conviction that they had, their trouble and sorrow that they had before they got saved. But I like to hear about when you get saved. That's a church requirement. That's a biblical requirement is what it is. After that, the church acting upon you. If there's someone that comes from a church of like faith and order and you need to join this body today, we'll ask you to follow the Lord. We'll again ask you your experience. And then the church will send for a letter. If you have it with you, we'll read it today. But we'll send for a letter of recommendation from your church to see if you're in good standing with your body. If there's an account here today, and I don't think there is, if somebody's been excluded from this body and you would like to come back and be reinstated to this church in good fellowship, you come forward today. It's time for you to lift up the name of Jesus, isn't it? While we sing this first verse, you only got one verse, so you better move.
Number 44.
Back and get ready, and as soon as Sister Kendra and I can get in the water, we'll do the baptizing. After we get changed and can come out, we'll have a right hand of church fellowship at that time. Brother Sam, while we're getting ready, if anybody needs to testify anything, would you take charge at that time, please? And so, but while we're going back to prepare, you continue to sing.
in obedience to our Lord, by the authority of Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church, I now baptize this my sister in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Yeah, boy. Thank you.
Brother Trey, if you sing, Brother Sam, can you take charge for a few minutes?
Two oh six.